This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and it's so good to be back with you after our little hiatus there, which was enforced upon us, sadly, by COVID, and we haven't had a chance to talk to our listeners and to talk about different current subjects until recently. So now we're so happy to be back, and I hope you're enjoying listening to new and fresh programs here on Target. And we wanted to, of course, we've discussed COVID and health and certain regulations, and we've talked to medical people in the last couple of weeks since we got back, but I also wanted to talk about my favorite subject, which is cultural activities and cultural events, as you well know. And I wanted to let you all know that a lot of our cultural organizations and theaters and groups are back and running as best they can in innovative new ways, in COVID-free, friendly, I guess I should say, ways. And one of our most important community theaters, Musical Fair Theater, has not only got a new season ahead for us and a lot of good theater for us, but also exciting plans in the future for moving their location. And in the studio talking to me today is Doug Weiland, who is the marketing director and the heart, one of the heart and soul people, aside from Randy Kramer, who we do love and we usually talk to, or once a year at least on Target, and Doug as well. Doug, don't feel slighted. You're still one of our favorites too. Hi.
I didn't
mean it like that. It's just
no, not at all.
It's just we're obsessed with Randy in the theater community, as you know. So, but we're glad to have you talking to us today, and we're happy that we could, as I said, do something about entertainment, talk about something like happy and for a change. And kind of cheer everybody up with the idea that still life is going on with COVID and around COVID, and making, you know, COVID friendly activities. And Musical Fair certainly has come up with some innovative ideas and ways to still produce theater and still have theater in this season, correct?
Correct. Absolutely.
Now I need you, not me, because I don't even know. I need you to explain. So what are we doing now? What are we doing to get around COVID but still do some exciting and interesting theater?
Well, we got we've been doing since actually back in April is we've been doing live streams. And we totally understand that those can't replace live theater. Live theater has a special place in everybody's heart. It's for all of us who attend it all the time. Oh, we're missing it so much. But the live streams, we were the first organization locally to start doing them. And if you've been to our theater before, or if you haven't, we have not only our main stage, but our little cabaret space in the lobby. And we've turned that cabaret space into a television studio with four cameras and state-of-the-art sound and lighting. So when we do the live streams, it's not just like someone shooting it on their iPhone or anything like that. It's professionally done. It looks stunning and beautiful, and the sound is great. And we are currently, we do one or two of these a month. And for November, we're actually doing a partnership with Jazz Buffalo. And on November 6th at 7:30 p.m., we're presenting the Colleen Williams Quartet. Colleen Williams is a fabulous jazz vocalist, and she's playing with the Bobby Jones Trio. So that's the quartet.
Oh, they are so famous, and they are so recognized and well-known and renowned here in Western New York.
Yes, they're fantastic, and Bobby's an amazing man himself. And we're also partnering with another organization called Starring Buffalo, which does Broadway-style theater. And they did a couple of things at Rockwell Hall and at Shea 710 last year. And they're bringing in two Broadway performers, Zachary Noah Pizer and Adam Rothenberg. And Zachary Pizer is actually in Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway. He's the understudy swing for Dear Evan Hansen himself. And Adam Rothenberg is a music director for him and music director of the national tour of Miss Saigon and the Broadway production of Sweeney Todd. So they're coming in and doing a one-nighter on November 12th at 7:30. And then we're doing more things, of course, in November, December as well. Other jazz live streams with Jazz Buffalo. And we have some Christmas offerings coming in December as well. So they're all live streamed. They're all within the $10 to $15 range usually. And they're, you can access them all at the Musical Fair website at musicalfair.com. It's very simple to make the reservation. And you don't even have to watch them that night. That's the best part. Like, if you're not free that night but you wanted to see it, once you purchase the link, you can watch it for up to 2 weeks. So you don't have to, like, be available at the moment it's actually happening. So you can watch it later if you want to.
Well, that's exciting. Well, explain in case people are not kind of aware of how that works, how it all works. Is somebody on the stage in Musical Fair Theater doing performing it, or are they in New York, or how are you getting it to be here that we can watch it?
Absolutely. Our live streams are actually, they're all done at Musical Fair in the cabaret space in the lobby, where we normally have cabarets. So these would be similar to our normal cabarets, except they're basically televised over your computer. So basically, these artists come in from New York or wherever they're from, and they perform there, and we literally broadcast it live on YouTube. And basically, if you purchase the link through our, you know, website and our box office, we email you the link, and all you have to do on, you know, the showtime, or if, you know, as I said, you can watch it afterwards if you're not free on the showtime, is you just simply click the link and it opens the window and you can watch it. Plain and simple, right there on your computer screen in high definition and beautiful lighting and beautiful sound.
Do you have real people coming to rehearse beforehand at the theater? Like when you said some of the stars that are coming from New York or other places are actually physically coming there?
Yep, they come here. We can't, there's no audience. There's no audience present for it. It's all just broadcast because none of the theaters in Western New York at all have been given permission or guidance from the state as to how to or when we can actually reopen because of the pandemic.
None of the theaters in New York have either, as you well know.
Absolutely.
So it's not just us. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're pretty much, you know, doing what we can while we can. And they come to the theater and everyone's, you know, they're not, they've been tested. They do, you know, we have COVID guidelines that we have to follow when they get there. You know, everyone's temperature checked and they fill out forms and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, any staff that's there is nowhere near them. the staff is masked if they are there, you know, the sound guy and the lighting guy. So, but they're like, you know, dozens of feet away and the room is ventilated, et cetera. So for safety's sake, so everything is on the up and up that way. And yes, but they come in, they do it live and they perform it and then that's their piece.
It's so amazing how, you know, what kind of organization has to go into anything now, you know, compared to and how different it is, I know, and how hard, I know how difficult it is to get something professional together the way you're describing it with all of the restrictions and still be safe.
Absolutely. I mean, another thing we did, and you can see on our website too, is we have an on-demand section that shows some of the older live streams that we've done that you can purchase on demand. So like those, like the one that we did back in April and the one we did in May and June, you can actually go to the website and like click on those and you can purchase those for $10 as well. But we also did this past summer, we were supposed to do on the main stage, the 40s musical review Swing, 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 but we had to, of course, cancel it because of COVID. Well, we did a concert version of it and that is also, and we recorded that for on demand. So that is actually also featured there. So if you're looking for something more than a cabaret act, something on the main stage, you can see Swing, Swing, Swing on the website as well.
What I also think is interesting is how you actually, during the original ones that I saw, the cabaret shows, how you managed to include the audience by having people either text you or, I have no idea. I had to go to my daughter's house to watch it, and I had to have my daughter and my granddaughter set it up, and they put it on the screen, and then we watched it. I have no idea how this miracle occurred or the technology of it, but I could never have done it myself. However, what was really fun was how you, during the show, said, here's somebody's watching, somebody's commenting, this many people are watching, and that was amazing to me.
Yeah, because YouTube lets you be interactive when you're showing things. So, for instance, during the cabarets, people can, if they're sitting at their computer watching it, they can, you know, type into the chat box on the screen and be like, oh my God, I love that song, or who wrote that? And we'll answer the questions right back to you. Like if you wanted to know who wrote a certain song, or, you know, how long someone's been performing or something like that, we can answer questions. Sometimes we show, we ask people to take pictures and put them on social media, like take pictures of themselves watching the cabarets, and then just put them on their, you know, their Facebook or whatever page they have on social media. And then we'll look for them and we'll, you know, copy them and we'll show them during the live stream, during like the 5 minute intermission break. If we want to, you know, just say, hey, look, here's Joanne from Cheektowaga watching from her home, you know, things like that. So people feel like they're more involved because they can't really be in the space with us. We try to make it more as inclusive as we possibly can.
So we did that. So Robin, Karen, and I got dressed, you know, even though we were sitting in her living room, we got dressed and we had, not Karen, she's too young, but we had wine and or pretended to and sent the picture and talked to you. I have no idea how they did that either, but it was pretty funny. But it makes you feel like you're part of it.
Yes, we hope it does.
It is amazing that now the other theaters too have tried to do something. I know I can't think of like Alleyway and some of our other local theaters have also tried to keep something, some kind of activity or show or something that people could watch at home or view at home or take part in also, right?
Right, absolutely. I'm also just, you know, acting president of the Theater Alliance of Buffalo, so I communicate with all the theaters in town on a regular basis. And yeah, Alleyway did one, Raisa's Theater Company did one, World Less Traveled did a Bigfoot, you know, Halloween extravaganza kind of thing. Irish Classical just did their production of Sea Marks, which was beautifully filmed and presented. So yeah, everyone has jumped into it, you know, head first, because that's all you can do is give it a shot and try. And you know, they're presenting what they can we're trying to keep everyone in the Western New York area, keep us informed as to what we are doing, but also to keep our names out there. Do you know what I mean? Because people, they can't come see us. And I think they sometimes wonder, what are they doing? Or how are things going with them? But at least this way they have a small inside look at things, what's going on before we can actually get together. Hopefully, relatively soon.
I don't know, from your mouth, as they say, it should only come true, or whatever the saying is. I just want to tell our listeners that if you just tuned in, of course, you're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are talking today about Musical Fair Theater, as well as our other community theaters, and in the studio talking, not in the studio, but through the miracle of Jim and the telephone and the headphones and whatever is happening. We're talking to Doug Weiland, who is the marketing manager of Musical Fair. And I forgot what you just told me, the title, but actually for the Theater Alliance, too. All of the theaters. I'm glad I thought of asking you about what our other theaters are doing. Because, you know, I'm always surprised and amazed that our listeners, when they hear us talking about the theater, do not realize that we have, I don't know, 20, as a rule, when it's not COVID, more than 20, right, theaters operating.
Absolutely.
And here in Western New York, of every kind of theater, every form, every genre is available to all of us here ordinarily in Western New York, right?
Absolutely. Usually on a regular basis, every theater, about you're right, approximately 20 theaters in Western New York have their seasons, and you can go to not just Shays or not just Musical Fair, but there's, you know, there's children's theater at Toy, and there's classic theater at Irish Classical, and there's, you know, the main stage of Americana Theater at Cavanoke Theater, and World Less Traveled, which is new works. I mean, the gamut is enormous. And so many professional actors and directors and then technicians and designers all working together all year round at 20 different spaces and keeping the cultural momentum going in Western New York. And during this time, of course, we're doing the best we can and really looking forward to the time where we can actually get back together again.
You know, all the restaurants are suffering, as we know, statewide. Well, of course, not just statewide, in the whole country, but right now in Western, right now we're on target and we talk about Western New York, and, you know, this area is what we're concerned with. So financially, they're saying that a lot of the restaurants, for example, will not be able to open again ever. Do you think the theaters, all of our theaters that we talked about, are going to be okay? What are they doing financially?
Well, that's hard to say. That's, you know, based on each individual theater's model. So, like, some theaters, like, don't have a lot of overhead because they don't have their own space, for instance. They may just rent another space to do a show. So, basically, they're just in a holding pattern because they don't have full-time employees or anything like that. Then there's theaters like Musical Fair and Irish Classical and Cavanocchi, et cetera, who do have full-time employees, and we are, you know, working with foundations, we're working with our patrons and donors, we're working with doing the live stream things to try to keep things financially afloat. And I think, will they all survive? It's hard to say. I mean, it depends on each theater's individual financial situation right before the pandemic, partially, because if they weren't, you know, if they were having a slow time or they, you know, didn't have a lot of money, you know, banked at the time, who knows? But I think most of them seem to be still out there. I don't think anyone's shut down that I've heard of, and I'm kind of in the know.
Yes, you would know.
The Theater Alliance. So, yeah, so everyone's, you know, hanging in there and doing their best.
Now, you mentioned just now, if a theater has its own space or its own building, it's one thing. If they're renting from somewhere else, some other venue, it's another thing. And that leads me to ask you, there was an article recently, several articles, about the town board in Amherst approving the Memorandum of Understanding with Musical Fair Theater about moving to a new venue, which I think we've heard a lot about in the past, of pre-COVID, I know, and then mm-hmm. this happened. So do you know what's happening about when there would be a move and where it would be and why?
Well, why? Yeah. We've been in residence at Damon College since 1990-ish, somewhere in there. And about a year ago, the college decided that they weren't going to renew the lease for the theater. So we've been in residence on their campus, in a building on their campus, and they decided they need the space because Damon can't really expand much further than what it is, you know, because of geographically where they're located. There's homes around it. They can't just buy property, you know, things like that. So they kind of need the space, so they told us they weren't going to renew the lease. So with that giving us, and our lease does not expire until 2025. So there's still, you know, plenty of time out there. And so we began an exploratory phase, and we've been working with the town of Amherst very closely, and we did sign a memorandum of understanding with the town for, I believe, the old Westwood site. So we are in negotiations with that, but, I mean, it's, you know, it's in planning phases, and thank God we don't have to go now.
You're not kidding.
Exactly.
Jeez.
So there's, you know, some time ahead of us, thank goodness. We, you know, assuming that things are sort of back to normal sometime, you know, next year, that still gives us, you know, 4 years to move and plan and do all of that stuff. So we're still in a good place with that.
And you would be having, supposedly or hopefully, a brand new theater of some kind, right? That's going to be a building, and it'll be your responsibility, and you'll furnish it and have stage equipment and everything else. That'll be really exciting for you guys.
Yeah, it would be a slightly bigger space than what we have now. Right now, the theater at Damon has about 136 seats. I think we're looking to up it to around 250, somewhere around there. So we still want to keep it as intimate as the one we already have without getting too big, but to expand it to a certain degree. And yes, it would be a new build. It would be a brand new building, state-of-the-art equipment. You know, the amenities, all that stuff will be fantastic. And yeah, we're really looking forward to that.
That'll be really exciting, I'm sure. Although it's so charming, the space that you mentioned where you are now is not only, did you talk about it before, there's a main stage and there's this really, really charming, intimate cabaret space, which I'm sure somehow you will kind of continue in your new building because it's very, like I said already, charming and intimate, and people have a place to be together. Oh dear, together. Well, this is pre-COVID, obviously, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the new space will indeed have another cabaret space. So if in our current space, we have the main stage, as I said, with 136 seats, but we have the cabaret space, which is part of the lobby, really, and that has table seating, and that's where jazz acts and, you know, just basic or tribute acts, like it might be an evening about Carole King or an evening about James Taylor, or it might be some Broadway standards or just a little review. We'll do things like that in the cabaret area, and there's full bar service, and there's some food and things like that. So that's comfy and cozy, and that's more, you know, for about, 96, 97 people. And then the theater itself is where we do our main stage musicals every year. So the new space in the new build will actually have two spaces as well, another cabaret space and another main stage space. And they don't run at the same time. So it's basically when a main stage show is not running, that's when we do cabarets, so that they're not overlapping each other. So.
Well, that's good. It's good that that will be continued, because it's very unique, and it's a bonding experience usually for people, to place to hang out and talk. And I think maybe you should describe how the stars that you've seen on stage very often, such as Teresa, who you can talk about, mm-hmm. sometimes entertain, and Randy even, entertain in the little cabaret after the show.
Yeah, absolutely. When we do the main stage shows in the theater, when you come out at intermission and then after the show, the piano player for the main stage show, so say we just did, West Side Story, and then West Side Story ends that night, and then you're walking out of the theater, and then the bar is open in the cabaret space, and the piano player for the show has gone out to the cabaret and then is playing show tunes. And a lot of times, the casts of the shows will come up and they'll sing for free, and just free entertainment for you after the show. So you can have a cocktail after the show and relax a little bit without having to rush back to your house if you don't feel like going home yet. It's a great little space.
And it's very, I think it's New York. It reminds me of the big city.
Yeah, absolutely. it gives you a vibe that's not like any other theater in town. You can have fun and feel, I don't know, it feels more relaxing. And then you can talk about the show you just saw, too, on the main stage with your friends or with other people you don't even know who just happened to have stayed after as well. So it's a great way to meet the actors and meet the directors and things like that. It's a fun night.
Now, what do you think all of the actors and production people are doing now during this period where there's so few, shows and things for them to do?
Well, they're all doing the best they can. Interestingly, I mean, there's not many actors in town who make their living at acting. It's not like a high paying gig. Most of the actors in town and the directors and things like that, they also have a full-time job on top of that. So like the theater they do is done, at nights and weekends, and it's extra money and things like that, but it's not their primary source of income. So most people are just working their jobs and spending time at home like everybody else. Assuming their jobs are still there. So, because depending on the industry they work in, like if they were, for a while there when everything was shut down, a lot of actors might also be bartenders or waiters, and there were no restaurants open and there were no bars open.
Right.
But they're all back on the upswing now. So they're pretty much just holding on like the rest of us. And they're, anxious to get back to work. When we call and say, hey, do you want to come sing a song at this that we're going to be, recording for a live stream? They jump at the chance because they're like, oh, my God, I could do something again.
Of course. Yes. Yeah. And think how the viewers or the audience members are missing and dying for something to see,
Oh, absolutely. I bet. I mean, honestly, we were all just jonesing to get back in there and do something and see something and just feel together as a group again.
Now, just let me review again, because we said at the very beginning of the program, but now I want to kind of repeat it. What is coming and how people can get tickets, but I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but whatever they can do to watch it.
Absolutely. What we're doing right now is we're doing live stream presentations on November 6th at 7:30 p.m. The Colleen Williams Quartet will be a live stream. On November 12th at 7:30 will be an evening with Broadway's Zachary Noah Pizer and Adam Rothenberg, and that again is a live stream. And later in November, we have a bossa nova cabaret called Serenade So Brazil Bossa Nova which is on November 20th at 7:30. And then we have some holiday offerings coming in December. And they're all live stream presentations for safety's sake and for your entertainment at home. And tickets can be, again, not really tickets, digital passes can be purchased.
That's what I was trying to say. I was like, what do we call them? What do you call it? Digital passes?
Yeah, digital passes is the best way to describe it. And those can be found at musicalfare.com. That's musicalfare.com. Or you can call the box office because there are people working during the daytime at 716-839-8540.
And we hope our listeners will do this because we want to keep theater going. And as Doug said, you know, they're trying so hard to have activities and to have product for us to watch and to entertain us during this time. And so I think we have to do our best to show our appreciation.
We appreciate that. I mean, honestly, all the theaters need the support. We, you know, every little bit helps. And to be honest with you, when you think about it, you know, the weather's going to turn bad for the winter and you're going to be trapped in the house even more. So you might as well be entertained, not glued to Netflix or whatever. So like you can, you know, watch some live entertainment by some live artists from Western New York and support the arts at the same time.
And as we know, there's a lot of difference between something, watching a film, watching Netflix, and seeing a live performance. That's why there has been theater since the time of Shakespeare, because it is such a different experience.
Absolutely. It's communal in one way, shape, or form, you know.
And it's liberating and entertaining and educational, and I can't say how much I really miss it. By the way, do we have any idea? We've got movie. We just talked to people from the North Park, and the movie theaters are, you know, opening up with some limits and so forth. I wonder if theater will be next.
That's an interesting thing. I mean, we haven't, as I said, we haven't heard anything personally, but there are a group of off-Broadway theaters in New York City. There's like 8 of them that are currently, I think they just filed a lawsuit against the state to try to figure that out.
Right.
So I think a lot of it will come down to that decision. I mean, you know, it six of one, half dozen of the other. I think even when we're allowed to open, people will have to rely on their own, you know, common sense or their own physical, you know, preparedness, et cetera, if they even want to go back right away until, you know, the vaccine is more prominent and more distributed. So, I mean, absolutely, you know, even if theaters are allowed to open, who knows who will open right away anyway. It still might be, you know, precautionary reasons, people might still wait. So, and understandably.
We'll see. But we hope for the best, and we're so happy that we have some entertainment for us in the meanwhile. And thank you so much, Doug and Randy and everybody at Musical Fair, and thanks for doing your best during these difficult times. And we appreciate everybody listening to On Target. So please join us again next week at the same time, same station. Have a good week and be safe, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.